The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can it be said that hell is just? Could a loving God really send a person to eternal punishment in hell? How could anyone be bad enough to deserve this forever? We welcome you to Grace in Focus, the podcast broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website is faithalone.org. Well, for our question and answer discussion today, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Bob, you got a question from one of our listeners.
Yes, Chris has asked a question, and he says, I did not choose to be born. I did not demand to be put into this earth as a fallen human. He says, I'm not saying that I'm entitled to salvation, but contrary to all of Christianity, I also feel I don't deserve hell either. What am I missing? Can you reconcile this? This issue pains me to my core, and I think maybe some of my fellow believers, and notice he calls himself a believer, and unbelievers for that matter, may greatly benefit from what you have to say on the matter. And that's from Chris.
Yeah, it seems like his issue here is the age-old question, how could God sends someone to an eternal hell, you know, isn't that punishment more than anybody would deserve? For example, you hear people say, well, even someone like Hitler, you know, even as evil as he was, after a million years, wouldn't justice or mercy say, okay, that's enough? Right. I mean,
right.
I'm kind of understanding his question kind of like that.
Well, there's that. But the funny thing is, he isn't asking about other people. He's asking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He says, I don't think I deserve hell. I don't understand. If he calls himself a believer, he must not be believing the promise of everlasting life. Because if he is, he knows he couldn't go to hell if he wanted to.
Right.
In other words, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. Well, once you believe in him, you're guaranteed you will not perish. You're guaranteed you have everlasting life once and for all. And so, Chris, my answer to you would be read the Gospel of John, read it carefully, read it prayerfully, ask God to show you, is it really as simple as just believing in Jesus for my eternal destiny? And if it is, then, Chris, you know you yourself are eternally secure. You'll never perish. You'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. You'll never die. You'll never be cast out. You have everlasting life. You're a child of God forever. Now, the second question, which is, Ken, where you're going, is what about the people who do go there? Shouldn't they be annihilated? Or shouldn't there just be no hell? Well, first of all, read my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. I have a chapter on hell. And actually, hell, the word hell is just an English word we've made up. The Hebrew word is Sheol. It's the place of the dead. The Greek word is Hades, also the place of the dead. And prior to Jesus' ascension, all who died, believers and unbelievers, went to Sheol. Or Hades, all of them. That's why Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise was the portion of Sheol or Hades where Abraham and other believers were. But we know from Luke 16:19-31 that there's another portion of Sheol, Hades, that had people who were in torment. Well, that's not the eternal abode of unbelievers. That's called hell in the Bible.
Nobody is in the lake of fire right now.
Right. And the lake of fire is where unbelievers will go forever.
Forever. That's eternity for the unbelievers.
That's like Revelation 20:11-15. Now, we don't know what the lake of fire is. I tend to think it's a planet with like molten lava in the place we have oceans or rivers or lakes or whatever, and that then the land masses will be where people live, and there will be varying degrees of torment depending on how close they are to the flames that come up from the lava. I don't know. Maybe it's not like that. Maybe it's not a planet. Maybe it's something else. But I tend to think it's a planet probably in a different universe so that we're not exposed to it or dealing with it.
Yeah, that's one of the questions you get in Zoom classes and Bible studies. Will we be able to see the people who are in the lake of fire? I get asked that fairly regularly.
Yeah, I think that's and the Bible doesn't directly answer that question, but I would say it's pretty clear we don't. And the other thing I argue in my chapter on hell is that it's tolerable. Remember, Jesus said it'll be more tolerable for those in Sodom and Gomorrah, or it'll be more tolerable for those in Tyre and Sidon than those in the cities of Israel that rejected the miracles and the preachings of Jesus. Because greater than the Old Testament prophets were present when Jesus was present. And more tolerable suggests that it will be tolerable for all, but more tolerable for some than for others. And we aren't told the level of pain people will have in the lake of fire. We don't know. Is it going to be level 8 pain, level 6 pain, level 4 pain? We aren't told. And we aren't told if it's constant or if it goes up and down. Might it be level 8 today and level 2 tomorrow and level 4 the next day? We are told that each one is judged according to their works, and we know from Scripture that whatever a man sows, that he also will reap. So we know that there are going to be degrees of torment. In fact, Jesus spoke of being more tolerable for some than for others. So I would suggest that we have the wrong view of hell or the lake of fire. We have a medieval view that comes out of things like Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Inferno is where people in hell are literally out of their pores, the flames are coming out. It's like an inner fire that's inside.
Yes. And there's nothing in the Bible that says the people are on fire.
Right.
Instead, they're in a fiery environment.
And also that medieval idea of Satan roasting them on a pit or the demons. Demons, you know, that they're running things down there.
Yeah, which is kind of nuts because it was designed to torment Satan and his fallen angels and the demons. So it's not a time of great joy for them. But the point is, I'm not saying, and some people get me wrong, I'm not saying the lake of fire is going to be a great existence. What I'm saying is it's going to be a tolerable existence. What I'm saying is the torment will be manageable. It's not going to be like forever you being tortured by professional torturers who are constantly pulling out your fingernails, or you got eternal childbirth or eternal kidney stones. I've had kidney stones on multiple occasions, and the pain gets up there at 9:10, and I end up falling asleep or passing out because the pain is so high. And I don't see anything in Scripture that indicates that. That to me is a incorrect view of the lake of fire or hell now. But the other part of it is, the big part of this is, Chris, you should know with certainty that you're going to be forever with the Lord. And if you don't, pray about it. Read the Gospel of John. Ask God to show you. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Remember, Ken, in Matthew 7:7-11, Jesus says, ask, seek, not. Ask, it will be given to
knock,
you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened. Which, by the way, ask, seek, knock spells A-S-K. But it seems to me God rewards people. So there shouldn't be a single person on earth that's an unbeliever.
Yeah,
we're all capable of coming to faith.
Yeah, and I think part of the issue here as well is the idea, and I know Hodges and others have written about it, that the lake of fire is not a place of punishment. I forgot exactly how Zane put it.
I think he calls it justice.
Justice. That
this is what they sowed. They're reaping what they sowed. I remember my first book, Confident Christ. I argued that in Romans, when it talks about wrath, it's talking about temporal wrath, not like the eternal wrath in the lake of fire. And Zane Hodges called me up and said, Bob, I think you need to rethink this because orge, the word for wrath, is never used of the lake of fire.
Right. So it's not like God is either putting us on the pit, you know, torturing us or allowing Satan to do it. It's not a place of wrath. It's a place of justice. It's what, how would we say it, that God isn't going to force you to have eternal life.
Right.
So if you have free will, then you ought to be able to either believe or not believe.
Right. And Hodges would say and said that people, in terms of the lake of fire, ultimately, if they end up there, it's because they did not believe. He wouldn't call faith a choice, but unbelief is a choice. So I can choose to be close to the evidence. You know, what about all the
people? Or unwilling.
Unwilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember in John 5,
right.
39 and 40?
You're unwilling.
You're unwilling to come to me that you may have life?
Right.
So we should be willing to come to him that we may have life. And Hodges' point is if we are willing, even if we've never heard the name of Jesus, God will send us someone, like the Macedonian vision in Acts 16:9, he will send us someone to tell us the words of life. So when I said earlier that no one needs to go to the lake of fire, the sad news is Matthew 7:13 and 14, the way is narrow that leads to life and few find it, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and most are on that path. They don't need to be, but they are. And so the reality is, we don't know what percentage of people on earth are born again or have been born again and still are born again, but they're not currently believing. All we know is that few find it. And whatever that means, I tend to think it means less than 50%. But whatever the percentage is, God's not forcing anybody, and God doesn't want anybody to go to the lake of fire. That's why he sent his son to die for us.
And the offer of eternal life as a free gift is so gracious. You know, people in this question look at God as some evil God. But look at the offer. You know, just completely free. It's eternal. You can never lose it. And we're attacked for that as free grace people. Oh, that's too gracious.
Right, that's the narrow way.
Right.
The narrow way is not I'm turning from my sins and I'm following Christ and I'm giving up everything for him and I'm suffering for him. No, no, the narrow way is justification by faith alone, apart from all works before or after justification or before or after the new birth. That's hard for people to believe.
Yes.
If you've ever been in a prison, man, prisoners love work salvation and lordship salvation. And if you've ever been in churches, most churches are that way too. It's like if you're proclaiming the free gift of everlasting life, you get a lot of opposition from within Christianity.
Yes, you do.
Well, thanks so much to Chris and Ken. Thank you. And everyone, keep grace
in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. Go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus episode, what is the relation between repentance and forgiveness of sins? Looking at Luke 24:47. We hope to see you, and until then, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.